This morning I'm going to begin a series on biblical stewardship. Now I know biblical stewardship is one of those topics that seemingly can make congregations cringe, make you uncomfortable in your seats. They provide lots of water cooler talk. But the only reason that I'm beginning a series on stewardship is very simple. It's in the Bible. And we teach the Bible in its entirety. I also believe God placed it on my heart for the last several months as I've been searching and praying for what to begin preaching on in 2019. And so it's led me to stewardship, the topic of stewardship. So that being said, let's check out what the Bible has to say on stewardship. Before we do that, before we go into God's word, let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, God, you are so good. You are so good to us. And Father, now as we go into your word and continue to worship, continue to see who you are, God, we will see you as a good God, as an awesome God, as a holy God. So Father, as we dig into your word this morning, would you teach us? Holy Spirit, would you open the eyes of our hearts? Would you soften our hearts? Would you make us teachable this morning? And through your word, may you change us. May it draw us closer in relationship to you. May it strengthen us in our faith. May it bring us to maturity in Christ. Because of you have spoken through your word. We thank you for it. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Typically, when we hear the words of stewardship or steward or stewardship, we tend to think about finances. We tend to think about, we're going to be asked to give more. It's going to be more about tithing. It's going to be more about, you know, dig deeper into our pocketbooks. And of course, finances are included, but they don't completely paint the picture of the meaning of biblical stewardship. In short, biblical stewardship is one of the primary ways God calls believers to live their life. It's a theme in the Bible that you can trace from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Stewardship is rooted in creation. Stewardship is rooted in creation. Mentioned throughout the Bible and influenced is the way that we live our life for the glory of God. So to define stewardship is to say this. So if you've ever watched someone's house, if you've ever watched over someone's property or watched someone's animal or their children, maybe you manage an office or you manage some people in an office. So if any of these apply to you, then you have been a steward. In general, to steward is to manage something on someone's behalf. Whether it's for a family member, a friend, or employer asks you to watch over something, then you're stewarding or managing whatever they entrusted to your care. They've entrusted something to you, and so that you are managing that for them. In fact, it shows the level of trust someone has towards you. If you think somebody is completely incompetent or incapable of looking after your children, what are the chances you're going to leave your children with that person or persons? Pretty slim. Even a pet. If you don't think your pet is going to be cared for well enough, you're not going to leave it with somebody that you think is incapable of looking after your pet. We have a bit of a standard. We want to see these managed well. These are, especially our children, they're dear to us. Our home, it's dear to us. And so we don't want to, you know, we get somebody to look after our home if we go away for vacation or whatever, and someone's looking after our home. We're not expecting that there's going to be big parties there or our house is going to be sold while we're gone. We're expecting that it's still going to be our house when we come back, right? We trust the people that we put in charge of or we ask to manage our property. In the Bible, stewardship is another way of talking about how we live our life. In the New Testament, the word steward is rooted in the Greek word oikonomos, which means the manager of the household. Thayer's definition is this: the management of a household or of household affairs. Specifically, the management, oversight, and administration of someone else's property. The office of a manager or overseer would be a steward or in somebody in stewardship. Administration, dispensation. So if you were a steward in ancient Greek culture, you were not the owner of the house. You would have been the manager of the house and the household affairs. So whatever is going on in that house. So if there was bills to be paid, you were responsible to pay those bills. If there was maintenance to be done on the property, you would look after getting that maintenance done. So these are all responsibilities of the manager. And they include cleaning the house. They include, if there was servants, it would include managing the servants, making sure that they had enough to do, making sure that they were doing their work. You would have managed everything on behalf of the owner. So that's what a steward is, managing something on behalf of the owner. So in order to understand stewardship in the Bible, we have to go back to the first verse in the Bible, in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And for church people, for church-going people, it's a very familiar passage. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So right from the very first passage in the Bible, from the very first verse, we see in this passage that God is the creator of everything. He created the universe, the earth, and he created you and I. He created everything in it. There's not a particle in the entire universe that was not created by God Almighty. Colossians 1 verse 16 says, "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." Notice that phrase at the end there. They have been created through him and for him. This is going to be important to remember this as we go along. We created for him. He created mankind. Who are we created for? We are created for him. The foundation of stewardship is built on the reality that God is the creator of everything. That nothing existed or exists without him. If we don't establish the creator, the owner of everything, then it's going to be difficult to grasp the joy of complete and total surrender in obedience in relationship to stewardship. In relation to stewardship. Starting anywhere else is like trying to straighten your shirt after you've buttoned it. I start at the beginning here and I get a couple buttons wrong. I'm not going to do that for you now, and you're welcome. But if I start at the beginning and one button is out, to try and straighten my shirt to make it match at the bottom and the top is going to be impossible without starting from the beginning. And so too with stewardship, it's important to start from the beginning to get a good, correct understanding of stewardship. It's not going to line up. Everything in the Bible becomes clear and makes sense when we understand that God is the creator and that he has every right because of his ownership. Once we fully grasp that, once we fully grasp who the creator, who the owner is, it helps in our understanding of stewardship. And not only in our understanding, but in living a life as a faithful steward, as living out that life as a faithful steward. As the creator, God has absolute rights of ownership over all things. God owns everything. Not only did God create everything, or we could say that by creating everything, that automatically puts him into ownership because he is the creator. God owns everything. And again, it's crucial to understand for the believer to be a good steward, a faithful steward for the glory of God, needs to understand that, first of all, that God is creator of everything. He is owner and ruler of everything. Deuteronomy 10 verse 14 says, "Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the highest heavens, the earth, and all that is in it." What does it belong to? God. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 11. And it's repeated over and over in the scriptures that everything belongs to God. We can't deny it. We can't take that away. The scripture is full of this. In 1 Chronicles 29 verse 11 it says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty." See, we're talking about everything completely. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth. Yours is the dominion. We talk about a ruler. We talk about falling under his rule, his authority. Everything lines up with that. O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. You have created it, therefore you are the owner of it. Psalm 24 verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein," meaning us people. Everything is the Lord's. Psalm 89, 11, "The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world and all it contains, you have founded them." 1 Corinthians 10, 26, "For the earth is the Lord's and all it contains." God owns everything. We're simply the managers or administrators acting on his behalf. Biblical stewardship defines a man's relationship to God. It identifies God as the owner and man as manager. As the owner of everything, God desires for everything to bring glory to his name. Everything to bring glory to him. In 1 Corinthians 10, 31, it says, "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God." Why? Because it's God's. It's his to begin with. Everything that we do for him. Every faculty you have. This is a quote from C.S. Lewis, and I want to read this to you. "Every faculty you have, your power of thinking or of moving, your limbs from movement to movement, is given you by God. If you devoted every movement of your whole life exclusively to his service, you could not give him anything that was not his, that is not, in a sense, his already." Are you getting how much of it is God's? Everything. I want to read that again. "Every faculty you have, your power of thinking or of moving your limbs from moment to moment is given you by God. And so if you devoted every moment of your whole life exclusively to his service, you could not give him anything that was not, in a sense, his already." That's a powerful statement. And as stewards or managers, God delegates the responsibility. In the beginning of Genesis, God creates everything and puts Adam in the garden to work it and to take care of it. Genesis 1, 26 to 28 says this, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created man. Him, male and female, he created them. God blessed them. And God said, 'Be fruit.' God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" You see, Adam was made manager of what is God's. It is clear that man was created to work, and that work is the stewardship of all the creation that God has given him. God calls us to manage what he had created on his behalf. This theme of participating in God's work is picked up by Paul in his first letter to the church at Corinth, for we are God's fellow workers. Elsewhere, Paul mentions that we are working together with him. God is at work in your life and around the world, and you and I have the privilege of participating in his work. You and I have the privilege. That's what it is. It shouldn't be a burden. It shouldn't be something that we dread or we run away from. We have the privilege of participating in the work of God Almighty. That is an amazing privilege that he would choose to use us. To use people that are weak, that we struggle at times. We still sin at times as believers. But he chooses to use us. What a privilege. Think about it this way. God makes us his co-workers at administrating all aspects of our life. In essence, stewardship defines our purpose in this world as assigned to us by God himself. It is our divinely given opportunity to join with God in his worldwide and eternal redemptive movement. What is that redemptive movement? Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. The Great Commission. To go make disciples. God calls us to. In fact, he commands us to. Partner with me. I want to use you. Stewardship is not God taking something from us. I think that's how we look at it. Whether it's our time, whether it's our money, whether it's sharing the gospel with somebody, we at times look at it as God is, you're taking something from me. That's my money. That's my time. That's my energy. Well, whose is it? Whose is it in the first place? It's God's. Why? We start at the beginning, from creation. God created everything, therefore, he is owner and ruler of everything. Therefore, my time is not my own. Therefore, my money is not my own. It's his method of just bestowing his richest gifts on his people, on his children. Paul refers to his call from God as the administration or stewardship of the grace of God for a ministry of the divine mystery revealed in Christ in Ephesians. Man, what a privilege. In this context, Paul is portraying God as the master of a great household, wisely administrating it through Paul himself as the obedient servant of Jesus Christ himself. Also significant in what Paul is saying is this. That once we've been called and placed into the body of Jesus Christ, the stewardship that is required of us is not a result of our own power or our own abilities. We're not expected to do any of this on our own. Isn't that incredible? God doesn't call us to be stewards and then leave us on our own. Send us out. Go make disciples. You're on your own. I'm out of here. No, he doesn't do that. He gives us the power and the ability to do that. And the strength, inspiration, and growth in the management of our lives must come from God through the Holy Spirit in us. We've been going through a series about that, about the Holy Spirit of God. We've just finished the series on the Holy Spirit of God. The power that he gives us, the indwelling Holy Spirit. If we do it any other way, if we're trying to do it any other way, we're doing it in vain because we're doing it in our own power, on our own strength, and our own energy. And we know that stewardship that way is going to be self-righteous. Stewardship that way is going to be from a human strength, from human growth. That's not what we're looking for. And accordingly, we must always remember the sole source of strength is pleasing God. Pleasing God. I do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. That's what Paul said. Paul also said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Everything that Paul did, he contributes to doing it only by one way. And how is that? By the strength of God. By the strength of God himself. Man, we have the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit in us. We are not left on his own. So in order to walk in stewardship, we have to recognize and come in complete surrender and obedience and faith in the one true God, and that will result in faithful stewardship. We have to recognize that God is the one true God, that he is creator of all things, that everything belongs to him, that nothing is too hard for him, and that he gives us the power and the ability to be stewards for all that he has put us in charge of. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12, verse 41. Luke chapter 12, verse 41. We have to believe by faith that God is who he says he is, that God will do what he says he will do. Luke 12, 41 to 48. Peter said, Lord, you are addressing this parable to us. Are you addressing this parable to us or to everyone else as well? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time? Verse 43, blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that slave says in his heart, my master will be a long time in coming, and begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of the slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. And that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of a flogging will receive but few. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much of him, they will ask all the more. Notice that while he is designated as steward in this verse, Jesus also refers to him as a slave in verse 33. One who is entirely under the Lord's will, completely dependent on the Lord for everything, for his life. Are you willing to? Am I willing to completely to surrender to him for everything in my life? Man, that is challenging, isn't it? That is hard to surrender everything in our life because we think that we can provide for ourselves. We think that we can provide adequately for what we need. Man, we don't even know what we need properly. God already foreknows what we will need this coming year. Whether it will be a year of much blessing or whether it will be a year where we need much strength from him, he already knows that. So he's already preparing us for that. He has prepared for us for that. He knows already. Who then is the faithful servant? Are we willing to be a slave? It's pretty sharp language, pretty harsh, pretty tough stuff. So ask yourself this question. Let me read that again, because it's important to read it again. Let me read this again. Verse 41, Peter said, Lord, are you addressing this parable to us or to everyone else as well? Of course it applies to everyone. It implies to us. Who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Blessed is that slave whom his master finds doing when he comes. So doing when he comes. Does that describe us? Does that describe me? That I will be found faithful when he comes? That's what it's talking about. That's what stewardship is talking about. That's my prayer as I have been thinking and praying and reading through aspects and avenues of stewardship. That is my prayer for us, that we become complete and slaves to Christ. that we don't rely on ourselves for anything, that we are as Paul. That's my prayer and my desire for each one of us as we go throughout this year, that we would become faithful stewards in every area of our lives, not just a few, completely surrendered. Most often when we think of good stewardship, we think of how we manage our finances and our faithfulness in giving of our tithe and offering. But as we're beginning to see, it's much more than that. It's much more than that. In fact, it's more than just the management of our time and possessions, our environment, or our health. It's what motivates the disciple of Christ to move into action, doing deeds that reveal our belief in him. Do you get that? How we live our lives will absolutely, the action that we're using, the action that we're doing, the thing that we're doing, will reveal how much faith we have in God Almighty. Because you have to realize, if we're not willing to put our whole faith in him, what are we saying to God? God, I believe that you can do a few things, but I don't believe that you can do everything. Then we're saying, God, you are not absolute creator. God, you are not absolute owner and ruler of all things. Then I know better than God Almighty. If our actions, the way we live out our lives, don't depict what God says in his word, don't depict God himself. Stewardship is a result of our complete surrender and obedience to the sovereignty of God, because God is over all things. Stewardship defines our practical obedience in the administration of everything under our control, everything entrusted to us, our children, our friendships. Stewardship acknowledges in practice that we do not have the right of control over ourselves or our property. God has that control. Are we willing to have you given God that kind of control in your life? Faithful stewardship means that we fully acknowledge we are not our own, but we belong to Christ, the Lord, who gave himself up for my sin, for our sin. Man, what did he do on the cross? Stewardship in the Bible comes down to this question. Who's the Lord of my life? Am I the Lord of my life? Or is God the Lord of my life? That's the beginning to our series on stewardship. And as we go along, that's the question. Am I the Lord of my life in every area, or is God the Lord of my life? And so we'll be looking at stewardship of the gospel will be one of the topics. Stewardship of the mind. What we think, what we take into this incredible mind that God has given us. Stewardship of the mind. What are we taking in? Stewardship of the gospel. We're talking about, what are we doing with this incredible good news that Christ has given to us, that God has given to us? And we're told, go make disciples. That's what it says in the word. How are we doing with the stewardship of the gospel that we have been given? Sexual stewardship. That does not look like a fun one, I'm telling you. But it's part of it. It's complete. How are we doing when it comes to sexual things, whether it's with a husband and a wife, whether it's a single person, not married? Sexual stewardship. It's in the Bible. And then, of course, financial stewardship. God's heart concerning money and possession. So those are the, God willing, those are the topics we'll look at over the next few weeks. Let's just pray as we close the service this morning. Heavenly Father, God Almighty, today I acknowledge you as the one and only God, the one true God, Creator God. You have created everything. You have created the universe, everything in the universe. You have created everything to sustain life. You have created everything for salvation. Father, you have entrusted, as the believer, you have entrusted so much to us. Father, we want to be faithful stewards of what you have given to us, what you have asked us to look after, to manage. And God, how we respond to this privilege of managing what you have entrusted to us, how we responded to that reflects directly in how we view you. And so God, I want to view you as creator. I want to view you as ruler over everything. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, too, that you give us, your children, the privilege of being able to manage your creation. What a privilege. God, may we surrender completely. And when we surrender completely, that means we're surrendering control of our lives. We're surrendering control of our thought. We're surrendering control of absolutely everything. May we withhold nothing from you. God, may you use us as your steward. Even if that means that you call us to do things that we are uncomfortable with, may we be faithful stewards. Father, I trust that as we go from here, you would continue to work in our lives and our hearts. Holy Spirit, convict us in areas where we have not completely surrendered. Thank you that you don't leave us on our own when you call us to manage an area, an aspect of our lives or of your creation, that you empower us through your Holy Spirit. You don't leave us on your own. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus Christ. We pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.